My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes, I am Jeff Hawkins, he is Rob McCarron, and Rob announced today the launch of on SiriusXM of WWE Radio.
Yes.
Should we be waiting by our phones for our show slot, given that Busted Open is on there?
Not going to be waiting with bated breath here, but it's a very interesting launching WWE Radio. They already have the podcasts. WWE Radio seems to be a place where they can play a lot of their podcasts, get paid for a channel while still having exposure. Honestly, surprised this hasn't happened sooner.
I think this is almost like 15 years too late, to be honest with you. That's what it feels like to me. It's like, yeah, I'm surprised this didn't happen sooner. And I think it probably would be more successful if it had happened sooner. It's just like, okay, cool, we'll put this on this channel. And if they're getting paid, great. But, you know, I don't know. I don't even know if my parents had Sirius Radio in their radios. Do you?
Oh, I have Sirius Radio. Okay. We have it in the car. And then, you know, you get the app with it. So I can use the app and have it in the other car. And we usually listen to that kind of in short spurts. I mean,
got it.
Yeah, kind of in short spurts. I don't know if I'll be listening, and we never listen to it inside the home. I mean, we are in Apple Music or Spotify when we're trying to actually listen to things. Sirius happens strictly in the car, and we have a lot of short drives, not a lot of long drives. And I also don't envision myself turning on WWE radio while I'm driving in the car with my wife. Probably not going to happen. We're probably sticking to the highway, to be honest. So,
wow, isn't WWE great? Click. Wow, isn't WWE great? Click. Wow, isn't WWE great?
I mean, so be it. I mean, good for them for having a channel. Like,
paid.
It makes sense. It makes sense for a location to have Busted Open. What channel was Busted Open on? Because it wasn't, was it on the Chris Russo channel? Like, what channel was it on?
They had a combat sports channel or something.
Okay, well, clearly it's going to be moved over to here. I was actually trying to look and see
156, I believe.
150. Okay, so it's deep in there. It's like with the hockey, or not the hockey, but with the Soccer FC kind of channel.
Mm-hmm.
What Soccer FC Sirius XM? This is a segment I like to call Googling. Yeah, so Sirius XM's FC, the soccer channel, was 157. What was channel 156? Sirius channel 156. It is taking the place of. Oh, it's taking the place of Pro Wrestling Nation. Okay, so it already was a pro wrestling channel. Now it's just going to be strictly branded WWE. Okay, so WWE is probably. They're either paying a licensing or they're getting a licensing fee. I would imagine getting a licensing fee. Paying under the TKO banner doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So they're going to get us some money to brand WWE, hopefully get some people to actually subscribe to Sirius for those people who just love all things WWE and want every single thing they can get their hands on. They are going to launch this Sirius XM WWE channel starting July 27th. So it's starting on Monday. And they are going to have, what was interesting to me is they are going to have play-by-play of the WWE premium live events.
Oh, really? I did not see that part. Okay, that's
yes.
kind of cool.
So they are going to have, in addition to live event coverage, WWE Radio will be home to the popular daily programming like Busted Open, a couple of new shows with Mark Henry, Nick Nemeth. This is Busted Open. But a couple of new shows with Peter Rosenberg. They're going to have the Not Sam podcast on there. Natalia is hosting a show called The Heartbeat. And you're going to have some other ones with some folks. There's actually Off the Ropes is going to be on there with people like Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer, Raj Desi. Do you know who Raj Desi is?
Yes.
And say it to the people. Jesus. Jeff, you've been hosting this show for a decade.
I don't have new audio. I just all of a sudden forgot his working name in WWE.
Oh my God. Do not hinder Jinder, sir.
Thank you, Jinder Mahal.
Will be on SiriusXM WWE Radio. So there's going to be some programming here, but they're going to fill some of this programming with live event coverage and live event play-by-play. So, that's going to be interesting for them to be doing actual play-by-play of some of these WWE events, because I would think that would probably not be something that maybe an ESPN... Now, who's going to listen to WWE channels or WWE PLEs on the radio when you can have the video? But what do you think ESPN is going to be thinking about this now that these events can be streamed in audio on other platforms?
Not much. I would love it if it was like you remember simulcasting when you could get an alternative audio stream of some kind? I would love it if they would have done that. But it's not going to take away from buys, so I don't think they're going to be too worried about it.
There's also going to be, they say, select audio simulcasts of WWE's weekly flagship television programming, too. So you may even be able to listen to a Raw or a SmackDown, maybe a big momentous occasion on WWE. So if you're out driving and, you know, you can't watch the show, you would be able to kind of listen live and see what's going on. So WWE Radio is going to be beginning on Monday, the last Monday of July. It's also the last Monday Night Raw before SummerSlam. SummerSlam is coming up very quick here, Jeff Hawkins. Are you more intrigued by SummerSlam after this week's WWE TV? Are you less intrigued by SummerSlam? Where are your thoughts? Where's your head at headed into WWE SummerSlam?
I thought Saturday night's main event was a little bit of fun, especially I even thought the Danhausen thing was quite enjoyable, to be honest with you.
There was some fun stuff.
Towns. And then we got to this week, and both Monday Night Raw and AEW Dynamite phoned it in, and it was a go home for AEW.
Well, it was go home. Also, I mean, you are what now 6 weeks away from All In. I mean, you're pretty close to All In, where all these shows should be kind of important. Mm-hmm. But you're right; it was a little and by the numbers, as is this pay per view, which we will get to Redemption here in a second. But
Raw was just weird to me because it's like no women's matches, no furthering of any women's angles, really, other than the Liv Morgan Danhausen thing on actual television. And this weird six-man that they're building up to, which just nobody knows who to root for. So everybody's kind of confused as to, you know, hey, LA Knight's kind of a jerk, but we pop for him.
I don't think it's so much like no one knows who to root for. Like we're waiting to be told, okay, who's the guy we should be. Like no one wants to root for anyone. There's a difference, right?
You want to cheer OTC all the time though.
And why not? Because listen, he left WrestleMania as the babyface.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the weird angle with Jacob Fatu where people weren't ready to really cheer Jacob Fatu and they actually healed him out. And then he brings Jacob Fatu in the bloodline. And Roman Reigns has been subtle heel. He's been, you know, OTC. He's been boss guy. It's not an even partnership with everybody. And honestly, people are starting to like Solo Sikoa a little bit. So they bring him in. And now they're trying to, you know, bring these guys that they think the crowd's going to like to fully cement the bloodline as the heels. But they're not ready to fully cement the bloodline as heels to the point where even Seth Rollins is going to be healed out here after SummerSlam. The one winning in all this is going to be Roman Reigns as far as getting the support, getting the crowd attention. And are we just going to keep trying to force feed Roman Reigns as a heel throughout this? Could we potentially maybe even see Seth Rollins win the title at SummerSlam and just go full heel? Like, maybe they're finally resonating and like, hey, Seth Rollins is the babyface. CM Punk is on the other show now. There isn't one guy who we can put against Roman Reigns after this, except for maybe Obafemi, but I'm not even there with Obafemi yet. I think Oba has to get away from Brock Lesnar for a month or two. And if they want to wait till WrestleMania against Roman Reigns, that's probably for the best for everyone involved. Because if you try to put him going into a Survivor Series, Obafemi and Roman Reigns, the crowd's going to heal on Oba too.
Yeah, and after this week, especially with the Unreal clips coming out, hey, let's turn Seth heel, make him head of the Vision again, have him shake hands with Braun, retcon the entire thing, and do it for next year. The Seth Rollins Roman Reigns thing should have so much heat to it, given the history, and all it is those two arguing about who Hunter liked best. It's really not good.
It's weird arguments going forth there. Seth Rollins coming back from the injury. I know he wrestled in the King of the Ring tournament. Didn't do well there. I feel like you probably wanted him back a little bit and maybe slow brewed the return to Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. The weirdness with CM Punk, where it's like he doesn't really have unfinished business with Roman Reigns. He does have unfinished business. He hasn't finished what he was doing with Roman. He hasn't finished what he was doing with Seth. Like, when Seth got hurt, CM Punk and Seth were in this program together, and there was so much more meat on that bone to the point where, yeah, you are probably going to get CM Punk, Seth Rollins back again in the future, hopefully more than just like the Saudi Arabia SmackDown versus Raw, champions match. But there was so much more to go with CM Punk on that side to where it just seems kind of rushed that you're doing Seth and Roman. It seems kind of rushed that you're doing Punk and Rhodes. It seems kind of rushed that Punk is not even going to be on Raw. This is the summer of weirdness. It's not even the summer of regrouping after WrestleMania, because they kind of regrouped in that first month and you were just waiting for everyone to come back. It's just been a weird kind of summer going on here, to the point where I'm just waiting until after SummerSlam to see what the stories are going to be. SummerSlam is totally like a backlash almost to me. It feels like it's the pay-per-view after a WrestleMania, even though it has these giant matches on it. But look at Oba and Brock Lesnar. It's a rematch from WrestleMania. It's just a weird time right now in WWE land.
You're going to laugh at this, but one of the most intriguing things to me about this SummerSlam card is the fact that a majority of WWE fans have never even seen Nick Aldis out of a suit or in a ring. So thinking that that's an interesting match is for a very select few. I'll be interested to see what the crowd thinks of Nick Aldis. Because to me, he's almost a perfect WWE wrestler who was kind of shoehorned into a managerial job because, he wasn't a young guy on the come, so he can't stick him in NXT.
It's been 3 years since Nick Aldis has wrestled.
Yes.
Since he was last in Impact, since he was last in TNA. It's been 3 years since he last wrestled, which is not an eternity. But yeah, you're right. This audience is totally different than the audience that was potentially watching Impact at almost its lowest.
He was in the NWA after TNA. He wasn't even in Impact for the last few years. He was in the NWA, wasn't he?
Well, no, he was in Impact. Then he went to the NWA. Then his last run before coming back to WWE was in Impact. He wrestled it Against All Odds in a four-way where he won it. His last matches at Impact, he lost to Eric Young. He lost to Alex Shelley, two names that are now in WWE. So yeah, he's wrestled in different organizations.
Alex Shelley, no longer in WWE, by the way.
As of yesterday, that is correct. But yes, so two names that were most recently in WWE.
Yes, there we go.
If you want to say that. Eric Young having gone from TNA back to WWE to work backstage. But yeah, Nick Aldis, to me, I'm not even worried about fans. Like, I'm not expecting fans to have watched the Nick Aldis run in Impact Wrestling. It's almost better if they haven't. This is a story, a guy, Nick Aldis, who's been on WWE TV for 2 years straight. He's the GM. He's obviously a big guy. You can look at the TV and see that he's a big guy. It's like, Oh, this is interesting. It's going to be this GM who's been on Gunther's back here for the last few months versus Gunther. I'm going to root for him because Gunther is one of the true, you know, full-blooded heels in WWE right now, where they're not booing him because of any go-away heat. They're booing him because they don't like him. And they beat all the favorites. And they're going to cheer up this guy. I think it's going to be an interesting crowd. I wonder where they put it on the show. I hope it's not, you know, second on the show. I hope it's a little bit later. Because I think the crowd will get behind Nick Aldis. Now, the crowd would have gotten behind Nick Aldis even more if 30,000 people who will be there were packed into an arena and it was 23,000 people versus the open air. I think SummerSlam open air with being half full building is going to hurt people. But Nick Aldis versus Gunther is one of these matches that's probably one of the most intriguing on SummerSlam, and we'll preview SummerSlam in full next week.
Do you put it on day one or day two?
I put Nick Aldis versus Gunther on day one.
Okay.
And I have not thought about this for more than, what, 2 seconds since you just asked me. But right now, I would say initial reaction was you put it on day one. You put it on the Saturday. You have a super hot crowd for it. I don't think you put it on ESPN. This is not one of those programs for the casuals, for the ESPNers. Put this on the actual show, Nick Aldis versus Gunther. And then, yeah, we'll see if Nick Aldis stays as a pro wrestler, if he gets his job as the GM back. You know, we'll see what he does here. But I would imagine this is the beginning of Nick Aldis's full-time professional wrestling run here in WWE.
Oh, I think it's a one and done. I do. Maybe another special thing or something like that. Unless they're going to do something. Well, unless they're going to do something with Cody getting a stable or something of his friends and, you know, kind of doing a member berries on that for the 20 people who might know all about that stuff.
You can heal Cody Rhodes here, and maybe Nick Aldis gets the feel good win. Maybe he gets beat by Gunther, and then, yeah, maybe he joins a Cody Rhodes led stable, but I don't see him going back to the GM after having an in-ring match with one of the top stars on that show. And I certainly hope they don't put him on Raw because I love Adam Pearce.
See, it's one of those things where I would think, okay, you beat Aldis on early in night two, and then something happens with Cody Punk where you need an authority figure and he's not around to answer that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some options that you have here. I just, you know, it's going around. The meme's going around about how Nick Aldis is one of the youngest main eventers on this show. Because he is younger than Cody Rhodes, he is younger than Seth Rollins, he is younger than Roman Reigns, he is younger than CM Punk, he is younger than LA Knight, he is younger than Royce Keyes, allegedly.
He's younger than Royce Keyes? Wow, I did not know that.
Well, there's people that think Royce Keyes is in his 30s. There's also people that think he's in his 40s. There's no full, he knows the answer. WWE might know the answer. But
he's a Cuban pitcher. Yeah.
Well, this could be a Fausto Carmona all over again. We don't know. Gunther, I think Gunther is just barely younger than Nick Aldis. Danhausen is 100 years old. So, I mean, he's obviously older than Nick Aldis as well. So there's a lot of older dudes. Brock Lesnar is almost 50. So Nick Aldis is one of these hip young bucks coming to the main roster here.
Yeah. Do you think they're running Danhausen into the ground?
I don't.
Okay.
I think they're giving him the amount of TV time that his reactions so far have deserved and that I thought he would be getting early on. I honestly think they kind of early on with him being on the Raw commercial segments, with him, you know, running around for a backstage segment where he was only on TV for a minute at a time. They were actually slow rolling.
Yes.
Danhausen for a bit here, and now he's just getting as much TV time as some of the other stars, minus the Bloodline. The Bloodline gets obviously much, much more. It's not like he's all over the shows. He's just on each show nowadays, but it's not like he's out there for 15 minutes at a time. He's getting a match here and there. I think it's perfectly fine to have him on this much. What do you think?
I heard that and I said, no, not that. I think the problem is he's too high on the card on this whole Liv Morgan, Io Sky thing. I don't think he should be. I don't like my comedy mixed with my main event, quote unquote. And I think that the women's world title as quote unquote main event. So I think sticking with Dom and JD McDonagh is fine. But once you get into the Liv Morgan, Io Sky feud, I think that's a little bit too high for him and he shouldn't be involved in that.
Well, there's multiple points I would say about Dominic Mysterio, because they were raising Dominic Mysterio up over the last year and a half, to the point where he could have been in these main event programs. He was getting the matches with the world champions.
Agree.
And he's slowed a little bit, which is honestly fine, because when you have a main event roster right now of Obafemi, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, and you're still trying to figure out what to do with the Jey Uso, LA Knight, there's a lot of room at the top right now that's filled. You don't have room for Dominic Mysterio, so let him do some of these fun things. Danhausen, Dominic Mysterio could easily be a match that I see going on the ESPN card, or just for the fact that it might be one of the more intriguing matches, it might be one of the more intriguing personalities on the show. You know, advertise Danhausen, Dominic Mysterio for the ESPN Unlimited portion of the card, and really advertise it and hammer it home during the ESPN portion that it will be taking place on ESPN Unlimited. Danhausen, Dominic Mysterio is certainly a match. It is for all the human monies. I don't know where either goes from here, because Danhausen also still has his SmackDown stuff with The Miz and Kit Wilson and potentially some other folks coming out of the cloning machine. But I will say, the cloning machine is a super fun gimmick and an easy way to bring people like Carl Anthony Towns into the arena, like the Minihausens. Like, anytime you have some celebrity or some new debut that you want to come in, but you don't really have an easy way to get them in, this is your easy way, the cloning machine. And you know what? I'm here for it. I'm happy that the cloning machine is now canon on WWE TV.
Like Baron Corbin. Oh, wait. No, they didn't do that.
With Baron Corbin. Of all the guys, that made the most sense to just put in there with Danhausen. But no, they want to just do Baron Corbin like he was before, where he's this strong, tough guy who's coming in and he's going to put some people down until he gets too far up the guard, and then he's the one being put down again.
But now he's legit.
Legit, I guess. But he could be super legit with Danhausen. Oh, there's still time. There's still time for Baron Corbin to get sucked into the Danhausen vortex and get mind melted. There's still time for that.
But let me go back. Danhausen on ESPN would be fine. I actually think it'd be really good, because he was all over there during the NBA Finals. Miz was all over the ESPYs. Put all those types of guys on the ESPN pre-show. All the sports hardliners will bitch about it anyways, because they don't want WWE. They don't want that fake stuff when they could be watching cornhole or whatever on a lazy Saturday in July or in August. So yeah, I do like putting Danhausen on an ESPN portion of it.
Right now, we don't have any of the matches announced for the first hours. You know, when we preview the show next week on this show, we will most likely have the first hour matches. Fightful is reporting that one of the first hour matches is likely to be Penta versus Chad Gable. You know, give a really strong pro wrestling match with some familiar faces to the WWE audience that isn't so much the big names going early. Because again, ESPN, you want people to buy the ESPN Unlimited show. Don't give away Brock Lesnar Hell in a Cell on the first hour and Cody Rhodes CM Punk in the first hour and Roman Reigns. Like, you got to have your main events and you got to have some things that people want to buy ESPN Unlimited for. So Penta versus Chad Gable rumored to be one of those matches for the first hour. I could see Danhausen doing it too. There are a lot of rumors there where WWE higher ups were regretting a little bit that the Knicks were so heavily involved in Saturday night's main event that they made it too New York centric and not globally appealing, not nationally appealing. But let's face it, the Knicks were the story of the summer. Danhausen, one of your popular wrestlers, was tied into this Knicks story. That story can prolong into SummerSlam, which is on ESPN. You're going to get so much attention for it. Do you buy that there are ESPN executives bemoaning the fact that they went too heavy on the Knicks?
I don't think it was ESPN executives. I thought it was WWE day-to-day.
Well, that's what I said. WWE executives.
You just asked me if ESPN executives were regretting it. So,
well, ESPN executives aren't, because more Knicks, the better. More mainstream sports.
Whoever said that should be fired. It's good for your thing to get mainstream crossover, and you were a show on Peacock. You weren't even on television. It was fine. It was good. It was good for your product. I know some people don't watch real sports, but you should watch real sports and then take from that liberally. And also, by the way, the women's ladder match is probably going to be on ESPN. That's what I think.
I can see that one too, and you may have some returns, a little surprise in that one as well. So yeah, we'll go through the full card next week on the show as it starts to build up. I mean, there's we've already got 9 to 10 matches announced for that show right now, which is pretty good. Now, obviously, those are going to be split over 2 days, so really 5 per show. I would expect each night to have at least 6 matches on the main card. So we still got some room to go there. Before we get to AEW Redemption coming up, ESPN, speaking of, was caught in the middle of laying off some folks this week. They laid off Carl Ravitch. Linda Cohn retired, but they most likely Linda Cohn was going to come to her end of term anyway here. Mm-hmm. Some big names, but one of the interesting names laid off, and probably not a surprise. I'm curious your thoughts. They laid off WWE and combat sports reporter Andreas Hale. He is no longer with the company after basically being a big, strong critic of WWE TV since ESPN took hold of the rights to WWE PLEs. Probably not a surprise anyway, but what do you make of it, especially with the recent history of Andreas Hale and WWE and ESPN?
ESPN stopped its deal with UFC. WWE doesn't want critics working for things that it has partnerships in. I think this is fairly obvious that WWE may have, somebody at TKO may have made a call. That's all I'm going to say. I you know, David Lloyd, I thought shouldn't have, I mean, he's still doing sport, or he was doing Sports Centers nightly, at least the late ones.
There were quite a few. I mean, honestly, when you're laying off highly tenured folks, those people probably make more mm-hmm. than some of the other names that you can bring in and do similar jobs. Especially with ESPN, they no longer had a full-time Major League Baseball contract. So Carl Ravitch, who was calling games, they can just bring in names here and there. And you don't need to have a voice of baseball on ESPN right now.
Nope.
Effectively, that voice is Tim Kirchen still, and he's still there. They don't need to have a voice play-by-play. So not a surprise there. The coverage, yeah, ESPN does not need to be doing weekly critiques or reviews of WWE TV shows. Not saying if they wanted to, that's fine, but do they need to be doing that? Probably not.
Puff pieces dealing with the wrestler's real athletic background. That should be the limits of what they're doing in terms of corporate crossover and stuff like that.
Yes. We got news lately that according to Tony Khan, Anna Jay has actually re-signed with AEW and extended her contract. I think this was a little bit of a surprise to some that thought that she may be WWE bound or NXT bound. What do you think of Anna Jay sticking around with AEW, although she is currently out with injury?
She should have left. That's what I think. If WWE would have taken her. Now, I don't know if they would have. She's been with them for a while. So actually more shocking to me is that Tay Mello asked for her release and got it. Or at least he says that he's going to do it. And that's Anna Jay's partner. So Anna Jay's kind of stuck. Like that one run she had at Stardom where you're like, okay, cool. She's really improved here and she's come back. And then there was nothing after that. There was nothing for her creatively. They should have stuck her with Jack Perry when he made his gimmick change. And that would have been something, Hollywood Jack Perry. But I don't know. It's a contract. Good for her for getting paid. You're on a show where certain powers that be only want one women's match a week. When are you going to get time? She's not working indies. She's not improving. So you're kind of like, okay, I'm going to take this job and have it as long as I can. If they put me on TV, great. If they don't, I still have the contract. That's kind of what I think.
It's very interesting that Anna Jay has kind of had these start-stop events in her career since debuting in AEW. Hopefully she can get a little bit of momentum. The AEW women's roster is going to go through another turnover point. It always does. Not necessarily where, you know, people leave the company and new people come in. Just fresh faces on TV regularly. Because it has been the same faces over the course of the last 6 to 9 months. You know, Mercedes Moné goes away, comes back, but still relatively the same faces. We haven't gotten that, you know, cleansing, if you will, of the roster where it's a whole new set of names coming in and doing the weekly TVs.
Well, there's 20 women on the roster who have been sitting at home for months at a time that don't even get used.
Well, Anna Jay is about to be one of them.
I know.
Let's talk about AEW Redemption. Jeff Hawkins, AEW Redemption is taking place in Montreal. So, okay, Montreal, Canadian crowds, hot crowds. You're probably going to have some stories here that that really create a monster atmosphere. My first question to you, sir, is what is the main event of this show?
Well, it's going to be Omega and Knight, but it probably should be Death Riders and Bucks, right?
Well, I ask you, are either of those...
Or even Tekla Nightingale, you could probably do, but nevertheless.
If Tony Khan puts Tekla and Willow Nightingale in the main event slot of this freaking pay-per-view... Well, I could say the same thing, honestly, about him putting Kenny Omega and Kevin Knight in there. But I agree, Kevin Knight and Kenny Omega, probably the main event. But one of the weaker main events going into a show that I can imagine on AEW in quite some time. This is a world title. This is effectively the collision of PLEs, just waiting until All In. And I wouldn't even put the Death Riders tag. Yeah, there's a story there with Will Ospreay, Jon Moxley. Maybe there's some type of post-match angle that they do, which would also be dumb because Will Ospreay has his focus going into All In. The Young Bucks, I mean, haven't been on the main event scene in a little while here. My point is kind of there's really no main event on this show. It's a bunch of B-level pay-per-view matches just filling out a card, and a lot of them will be really good. Chris Jericho, Tommaso Ciampa might have as much claim as anything else to be the main event of this show, to be honest. You got the Canadian and Chris Jericho. It's been a couple of month build to this match. No holds barred. It's got the gimmick going for it. I effectively 2 months ago, I thought Cage and Cope were going to be the main event of this show, but now they're just going up against the Death Riders B team of Vincent and Buff Bagwell. Like this is a show filled with easily matches I wouldn't even think would be the main event of a collision.
I somewhat disagree, but I agree at the same time. It's kind of weird to me how I'm going to put this. This could have had some heated rivalries. And instead, all they did were matches to set up matches. And, oh, I'm announcing we're challenging these guys. And then they got like beat up for like a week. And then that's the match. And you're just kind of like, eh, there's no real hot feud going into this card. This was a pay-per-view that was just created to create a pay-per-view, and it feels like it's just a pay-per-view to have a pay-per-view.
It absolutely is. This is a show filled with matches. Mm-hmm. It would be a really, really good Dynamite. The Dynamite from 2 weeks ago, was stronger than this show.
This would be a good Dynamite. You are correct. There it is. It's not a collision card. It's a Dynamite card.
It is. It is just a show. We're going to go through the matches somewhat quickly here. I'm seeing a note now. You know, Tony Khan is doing his pre-pay-per-view.
Have they added four more matches in his media scrum?
He added the one. He added the ladder match for the number one contender to the AEW International Championship today. So we'll get through that. But he was asked, you know, you have so many tag teams on the roster, Tony. Have you ever thought about doing a Continental Championship tournament or some type of tournament for the tag teams, like a tag league, if you will? And he said, yeah, we've thought about it. We're interested in doing it. We might do a tournament down the line. Like, Jeff Hawkins, within a year, are we going to have the AEW Continental Tag Team Champions? Belts, like, we're literally gonna have two different tag team titles.
Oh, we're gonna have the Continental Tag Champs. We're gonna have the AEW Cup. We're gonna have the AEW G1. We're just gonna have nothing but tournaments, and then we're gonna need the Women's Tag Continental Cup.
Yeah, Continental Championships, Global Tag League. You're gonna have the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. And they can fit one in there. I mean, Sting's retired. Probably should name something after him.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, why not? So the match that you thought was going to be the main event very well could, but it better not be. And nothing against Tekla and Willow Nightingale. I would say the same thing about Mark Davis Andrade. I would say the same thing about Kyle Fletcher Bandido, which honestly has a shot to be one of the main event matches on that show. I would say the same thing about Cage and Cope. I'm sorry. Cage and Cope versus Claudio and Pac is not a main event of a pay-per-view. But if you just want the hometown pop and a feel-good ending, maybe that could go on last. Tekla, Willow Nightingale. This is for the AEW Women's World Title. We have two Women's World Title matches, singles matches, on this show. This is the first of them. Tekla, Willow Nightingale. Who you got?
It's obvious that Willow probably will win this, but I think there's like about a 20% chance that this is a no contest of some kind or something happens so that Tekla can be in a three-way with Mercedes in at All In. It probably shouldn't happen, but Tekla deserves it after all the work she's been doing this year. She deserves to be on your main stage pay-per-view, but I think it's going to be Willow and Mercedes.
Mark Davis, who, yes, still, against all odds, is AEW national champion, if you were unaware, defending against Andrade El Idolo. Not that we haven't already seen cracks in the Don Callis family, because, gosh, we have every single week, even when they're stronger than ever. But here is a night where the cracks could start to fall as far as titles. I would imagine that Andrade El Idolo is going to walk away as the national champion on this show. Do you differ?
No. Promos after promos about the world title. Here's your consolation prize.
Kenny Omega versus Kevin Knight. And I am just going in the order that Wikipedia has entered them,
right,
so that I don't forget
that
one by skipping around. Wikipedia thinks this is the third match on the show. Kenny Omega, Kevin Knight, your main event for the AEW World Championship. Does MJF get involved? Does Will Ospreay get involved? Are there big shenanigans leading to a finish or possibly after? Because I could very well see this pay-per-view ending with something more than just a match, right? Some type of post-match, whether it's just as basic as a brawl with Will Ospreay, the Death Riders, all these guys, or maybe we just see a stare down. There's going to be something going on after the show. But what do you think about Kenny Omega defending the title against Kevin Knight?
Nope, I think it's straight ahead. I think all the chicanery comes after Death Riders and Young Bucks, which I think gets elevated to the main event slot.
Chicanery! Yeah, I can see chicanery happening.
I'll explain when we get to that one.
The Painmaker, Chris Jericho, against the Psycho Killer, Tommaso Ciampa. Is Jericho going to come out with the lame-ass face paint that he thinks is cool?
Yes. The sad clown face paint or whatever that is. Yes. All of his gimmicks have to get a win. So he's going to get this win back on this one. This is Chris Jericho's win to have. It'll be way too bloody, way too early too, but that's what those two guys want to do. So, okay.
This is the fourth of, as of right now, going through this, 10 matches with nothing announced for a pre-show, although I have to suspect one or two of these will end up on a kickoff show. But yeah, there's a ton of matches that will go long, although not as many as you would suspect. I mean, there's going to be some quick ones. Mark Davis Andrade, I could see going 7-8 minutes, and I know AEW doesn't usually like to do that, but I can see some of these being pretty short. Match number five on the list down, Kyle Fletcher defending the International Championship against Bandido.
I think this is like every other Bandido pay-per-view match. It's going to be really good, and Bandido loses. Although, if he won, then you could have Kyle Fletcher go after Kevin Knight's TNT title, which would be very interesting to me, but I do think that Kyle Fletcher retains.
I think that Kyle Fletcher retains too. I could very well see that happening where maybe he goes off the TNT championship as well, especially if Kevin Knight loses, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Kevin Knight, Kyle Fletcher, two losers on this pay-per-view battling out for the love of Don Callis, because Kyle Fletcher constantly has to battle for the love of Don Callis.
And Kevin Knight wants two belts. That's his only goal. He doesn't care if it's the world title. He just wants two belts.
Okay, well, guess what? There's going to be a tag team new belt created. Go after that at some point. Speaking of tag team titles, Cage and Cope, Adam Copeland, Christian Cage, going up against Claudio Castagnoli and Pac for the AEW World Tag Team titles. This could be a super good match, too. I mean, obviously, the crowd is probably going to be hyped for Cage and for Adam Copeland. I don't see any drama really on this one. I mean, I see Cage and Cope reigning those tag team titles until they lose the big one to either Young Bucks, probably, I would think, or
that multi-tag schmoz are going to have it all in.
Which, yeah, they're going to have something. But there's only two teams in my mind.
Yes.
That could beat them for the titles, and it's the Young Bucks and it's FTR.
Or the New Day if they bring them in.
Or the New Day if they come in. But I would say, I think we're getting the New Day on this show, by the way. I guess I might as well just say this during this tag team title match. I don't think it may happen during this exact match, but I think we're getting the New Day on this pay-per-view. And I think the Montreal crowd will go crazy.
Okay. I don't think they're eligible until the first week of August. So I think they may not be on this one.
I'm going to say they show up NWO style. First segment on the card, play a part in the main event, and they're just coming in saying, we're a fan of all these guys. We're not coming in here to destroy it. And then they just destroy everything.
Yes.
That's what I think. Probably not. Yeah, I'm going to go Cage and Cope winning here. Death Riders, Jon Moxley, and Will Ospreay teaming up against those darn young bucks, those lovable bucks of youth. What do you got here? Jon Moxley, Will Ospreay, Nick Jackson, Matt Jackson, probably going 20 minutes. Going to be great, but there's going to be some shenanigans at the end here too.
Yes, this is going to be the main event. The Bucks are going to be
three different main events. What's the main event on the show?
This is going to be the main event of the show, I think, because listen to me. This is what happens. The Bucks beat the Death Riders.
Yep.
The Death Riders B team comes in and starts to attack the Young Bucks. Ospreay helps out the... Helps and Omega comes in and Ospreay helps him clear out the Death Riders, except for Moxley, who's not taking part in it. And then Ospreay and Omega get into some tete-a-tete. They have the stare down at the end, and there's Moxley with his big googly eyes going, oh, what's going to go on here, kind of thing. And that's going to be your ending shot.
All right, that's your ending shot. Any chance that the New Day actually does close the show? I mean, Tony Khan likes to do this. He did it with Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson, where literally the last thing on the show could be the debut of the New Day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going 98% that the New Day is going to be on this show. All right, this is the main event of the show. Hikaru Shida versus Maya World for the TBS Championship.
Maya World's going to win this title, and she shouldn't, but it's going to be because everybody was saying that she's going to win the ROH title because of her showing in the Owen. I love this Shida heel character, but Maya World's winning this because Tony doesn't like the criticism that Maya's going to have to settle for the ROH women's title.
It's way too many championships on these shows on Dynamite and Collision. Way too many.
And I think here's where my debut happens. I think Kairi Sane comes out after this to challenge Maya.
Okay, we get Kairi Sane. I could see something like that. Six-way ladder match. This is the number one contendership for the international championship, the international championship currently held by Kyle Fletcher, possibly held by Bandido when this match takes place. Who knows? Jack Perry versus Mortos versus Commander versus Speedball versus Nick Wayne versus El Clone in a match that could open up any armory in the country.
True, but this is also really the only hometown boy on this card in terms of Montreal, Quebec, which doesn't consider itself part of Canada, but there's Speedball Mike Bailey. Speedball Mike Bailey wins this, and hey, Speedball Mike Bailey versus Bandido for Grand Slam Mexico, that'd be a hot match.
All righty. And then match number 10, Jay White and Juice Robinson going up against David Finlay and Clark Connors. Did you like Jay White this week on Dynamite going even with Clark Connors? Because Jay White, who has, let's face it, hasn't been wasted, I would say, because there's been some injuries. He's had some top moments on AEW TV. But the career of Jay White has definitely not gotten to the heights that I think some people thought they would, myself included. Now he's tag teaming against David Finlay and Clark Connors in a double chain tag team match, because you see they're the dogs. Do you get it?
Yes. This is gonna be the homage to Raven and Stevie Richards versus the Pitbulls. I did not like the promo that Jay White cut either, being tired and beat up. If Juice is being hype, you have to be even angrier to sell this thing, because nobody cares about the dogs. Nobody cares about them. They just go and they get beat. So it's gonna be the Bang Bang Gang, and it's gonna be bloody.
And if you want all the results of AEW, listen to Busted Open on WWE Radio next week.
Wrestling Omakase brings you a full course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Glate, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.